guys, welcome to episode 35 of Color and Emotion. If you're new, my name is Rebecca, and this is my podcast, which started out as just an outlet for me to kind of share what I've said were comments that are too long-winded for small group, but it has evolved since then, and I'm having a good time. Like, that was the other thing, was I wanted to have a project that I worked on where my only two metrics were to follow through and have fun with it, and that's been happening, so here we are. On today's episode, I have about 20 minutes because I am on my lunch break, and this is like take seven, but I want to talk about honor and education, and so I really should probably just stick to my notes. I keep getting side journeyed, and here we are, like I said, take seven. So I'm going to trust by faith that by the time I finish with this, it will all make sense, and I'm just going to go through the notes as I have them here. My sibling group chat is blowing up, so let me not be distracted. Okay. The other day, I was reading through Genesis, and I was thinking about how easily Eve was deceived into thinking that the person who made her, right, created her out of the rib of Adam and created Adam out of the dust and put the dust on a planet that was prior to that just covered in darkness and chaos. But God spoke light, and he did it out of love, and he had all this artistic and brilliance, and he made her, right? And he gave her one, she had one job, right? One rule to follow. And then it just didn't take much for the enemy to come along and say, bruh, God is lying to you. Like, he knows, like, if you do this, it's going to be awesome for you and less awesome for him. And just that seed of division, of believing that the person who came before you, right, who gave life to you, doesn't know anything, doesn't care about you, doesn't have your best interest at heart. So you should definitely deviate from the instruction that they're providing. Also known as rebellion, right? That is unfortunately like part of the bedrock of America. Like, I know we talk about like America was founded on Christian principles, and to a degree it was, but it was also founded with like this sense of, there's one thing to fight for freedom, right? But there has always been in it this mixture of like rebellion. And I feel like especially since, I mean, I'm no American historian, but particularly since the 60s, where there was like this huge documented, I guess, in a new way, wave and revolution of rebellion against conventional principles and conventional family and, I don't know, honor and dignity. Like, we're still kind of suffering from that. And it is something that we suffer from because God has instituted honor as generational blessing and protection. And it's also connected to land. And I was thinking about that because I was reading Genesis, like I said, and just thinking about everything that went wrong there. But then I was also thinking about the commandment that God gives as part of the Ten Commandments to honor our father and mother. And that's in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And part of that is just a natural consequence, right? Like, if you listen to and honor your mother and father, then there are a lot of things that are not going to take you out, right? Like, if you get out of the road when they say get out of the road, now you haven't died by a car. Like, if you don't burn yourself on the stove, now you're still not burned. You know, so there's like those simple natural things. But then there's also the Lord saying like that there is blessing for this particular obedience and that it's connected to the land. And so even if we aren't all called to grow food and that kind of thing, which is something else I was thinking a lot about, is like, we haven't retained that generational knowledge of how to sustainably and regeneratively cultivate and steward land. But also when you have a bunch of dishonor, then it impacts the environment and the atmosphere of like a society, right? Because especially in modern life, a society is the same thing as like a land. Like, what does it feel like to live in a society or a land, a country, a state, a city where there is no honor? It's unhinged, right? And the Bible like warns about this getting worse as time gets closer to the Lord's second coming and the end of all things being at hand, and just this era of human history as we know it, where there is this significant separation between the spirit realm and earthly things. Like, that is changing, guys. Like, there's gonna come a new era where it's connected again like it was at the first and without all the shenanigans, because Jesus' sacrifice redeemed us and the planet. And so even though we and the planet are being refined by fire in some ways, metaphorically, and in other ways, literal fire. The end goal is restoration, right? So anyway, I just wanted to read this because I think it does a good, well, obviously it's scripture. It does a good job. But this particular scripture came to mind when I was thinking about like, what is it like to be in a land that is full of dishonor? And so it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the New Living Translation. And it says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times." And then he gives the reason why the times are difficult is because, he says, "For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. And the ESV, it says, avoid such people. And then it goes on to say why. It's because they are actively trying to deceive other people and like lure people into this crazy way of life. And like, even if we're not, you know, like, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but like, you can see the fruit of a society, and that is what our society is becoming. And like, if nothing else, that's what we have come to enjoy as entertainment. Like, how many shows are there where people are considering nothing sacred? So there's like all these reality shows where all these intimate moments are just like splayed across the TV or whatever, and or scripted and all these things. And by intimate moments, I mean even as much as like family conversations that don't need to happen for the world to see, you know? And I was thinking about this too. Like, remember when only weirdos used to like shower and put it on the internet, like film themselves taking a shower. And now we have this whole like influence culture. Like, it's still weird. Please stop. Like, we get it. I know how to use deodorant. I know how to use shampoo. Just tell me how it worked at the end. Like, I don't need to see a play-by-play of you in the shower with the product. You know what I'm saying? And the reason I mention that is because that, again, has to do with honor and discretion. And, like, if anybody's mom actually told them, like, girl, get off of the internet in your shower, and you actually listened to them, we would have a completely different society, okay? Not even to mention the stretch legging situation that has divulged into worse. But that being said, it is a bi-directional thing, right? And God does address that as well. So like in Colossians, the scripture says, "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." And I think that we really underestimate the impact that fatherhood has on a society in general. Like, I think we all have the stats, but then there's like just so much trauma and like so many families that have been wrecked because of like brokenness and men who are not parenting well or being good husbands and all this. So it's like people know it, but it's almost like you're inoculated to the fact that, like, on the flip side, if a father stays and just is faithful and like loves his family well, then that also can have an incredible impact on the land, on a society, on the children. And so, you know, even in the Old Testament, God obviously still had a heart for parents to love their children through discipline, but also to delight in their children. And that's one of the things that stood out to me when I was reading Timothy, was this thing about like people only loving themselves and loving their money. And I feel like this, you see this a lot. And like, I'm not saying everybody should be parents, but I think the loudness and the harshness of this sort of like, you know, child is by choice and like my life's so much better with the dog and all this stuff. It's like, okay, do you, but let's not go against the fact that children are valuable, right? Like, people are valuable, and everybody starts out as a child, and God has a plan, and he has love and goodness for people, for human children. Like, yes, they're expensive. Yes, they can be inconvenient, but so are you. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, that's not really the point of this message or this podcast that I'm trying to give. But anyway, in James, some further instruction that helps us have bidirectional honor is in chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. And then again in verse 27, It says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in all of your lives and humbly accept the word that God has implanted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." And then verse 27, he says, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." So that, again, is really a helpful reminder of, like, when you're in these relationships with people who are older than you, like your family, or just in society, or people who are younger than you, like, if we're slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry, then we can learn a lot from one another, right? And I was thinking about, well, I have like a lot of stuff here and I only have like 10 minutes left. So, so here's something that I have in my notes that I think is helpful to share. Basically, when there's honor, there's also humility. And where there's humility, there is love and compassion. So rather than just wanting to be right as like your main thing, you will want to see others do well and you will want to see them prosper and be in good health, even as their souls prosper, like it says in the Epistle of John. And that's the way that God is with us. And that's why he gifts us with each other, right? He gives us parents and he tells the parents, don't aggravate your kids. And he, you know, gives parents children. And from children, we learn and relearn delight and humility and faith, right? Childlike faith, dependence on God and that kind of thing. And so that is something else that I wanted to chat about though, was I started out thinking about this in the natural with like just the culture and overall like zeitgeist or milieu or spirit of the society, but then also spiritually, right? It's really important to know for yourself and study for yourself what you believe in scripture. And at the same time, when people have been around longer than you, sometimes they do actually have a perspective that would be valuable to you if you paid attention to it, right? So, because I was thinking about like some of the things that have been taught about like faith and healing and provision, you know, health and wealth and all this stuff. Like, all of that is not actually unbiblical, but the way that you approach it and your heart has a lot to do with it. And it has a lot to do with whether or not it quote unquote works in your life, right? Like now we see a lot of people who are like trying to use new age stuff and like manifest this and manifest that. And it's like the reason that's dangerous is because it's a counterfeit of something that God actually did establish as part of the way that his people would live and walk by faith, right? Like the Bible is full of instruction about what we do with our thoughts, what we do with our words, and what faith can accomplish. But if your heart is that you want to do that without God, or you want to use faith to like create a life where now you're self-sufficient and you don't have to walk by faith anymore, like God's not going to help you do that. And at some point it starts to get really weird and you're in the wrong team, right? And ask me how I know, because God had to convict me about that. Like, yes, these things that you've been taught, they're true. And I do intend for my children to have their needs met and to be healed, because how else are you going to do, like God can work all things together for our good, but he came that we would have life more abundantly. And even in Acts, I was thinking about this too, like in Acts 10, it talks about how they're talking about the ministry of Jesus, and I can't find the verse. Oh, here it goes. It says, "God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And there are other scripture passages in Acts and in other places in the New Testament that talk about how the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and gives life to our mortal bodies. And then also that same power is available to us. But faith works by love. You have to love God and you have to love other people. You can't love yourself and love money and then use faith to get more money for yourself so you can do what you love. You know what I mean? Like that's not how it works. But that is important, because when you first read Timothy that I read earlier, right? And it's talking about all these people who are just like a hot mess and completely unhinged. At the end, it says that there are people who will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. So there is also a sense in which you might have people who would profess to be Christians and are in the church, but they're trying to convince themselves and everybody else that everything that has to do with the Holy Spirit is wrong or passed away or whatever else. And it's like, no, the Holy Spirit was given to us because we need him, because the times are going to get so dark. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking about how, on a related note, because we have to have faith, right? We have to rely on the Lord. Because again, the Lord is really the only entity in the universe, in the world, or whatever else, who is invested in our well-being and loves us, right? And so, yes, he's given us medical doctors, and yes, he's given us these other institutions and whatnot. But as we can see, they're still run by man, and nowhere in the Bible does God ever tell us to like delegate our trust to a human. Like, there are very specific passages, like Jeremiah comes to mind, where he says, like, if you put your faith in man, you will be cursed. It's gonna not turn out for you. But if you put your faith in God, you will be blessed. And part of how we do that is to be open to however he might provide, whether that's in a natural means, but depending on our society, or if it's a supernatural means. And also, when you live in a society like America, it's a lot easier to just decide, well, God gave us doctors, and so I don't have, but it's like, well, what if you don't have a doctor? What if you can't afford healthcare? Like, a lot of people can't. Like, there's still a place to be open to the fact that the Lord could either miraculously provide for you. He could change the hearts of the people in government and whatever else so that the society is less jacked, or he could just like miraculously heal you. Like, there are different ways that he could do it. So to kind of try and shame people for wanting to be directly supplied and influenced by the Lord is also not a good thing, just because other people have made these mistakes with that doctrine and run off onto a ditch on the other side of the road. But anyway, back to the point. And at this point, if you are watching or listening to the podcast, actually, whatever. I was trying to make it, because here's the thing. I have like a second podcast channel, but the podcasts have to be 15 minutes in order to go on that channel. So I guess I totally forgot. I could just put this on my regular Rebecca the Band channel. But then I also have only 4 minutes left on my lunch break. So the last thing that I wanted to say that actually connects all these ideas is going back to James, right? Which earlier I was saying that the Lord gave us instruction in James about how to honor one another by being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry, and to remember that the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And I was also thinking about how a lot of the tension intergenerationally in our society has to do with resources and lifestyle and all that kind of thing, where it's like, well, if you stop buying avocado toast, maybe you could buy a house. And it's like, well, if you would actually sell your house, right, for like a decent amount of money, maybe I could buy it. There's like all this tension between like, well, you just made all the wrong decisions in life. And it's like, no, I did exactly what you told me to do. And society changed and this economy is a hot mess. Like, all of that can also be alleviated by honor and compassion and not loving ourselves and our money more than we love each other. But anyways, what I wanted to read specifically is in James chapter 4, because again, this communicates that, well, I'll just read it. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? So this is addressing dishonor, living in an unhinged society, and being filled with strife, right? So the answer is, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Okay? Similarly, like it says in 2 Timothy, it's like you act religious, but you reject the power that could make you godly. So even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. And so like I was saying before, this is something that the Lord convicted me of, because I think there's a lot of value in some of the things that are actual revelation from scripture that we are going to need as the times that we live in get darker and darker, because we are called to be light in this world. And there are a lot of concerted efforts to destroy humanity, to reduce the population by any means necessary. And so we have to exercise discernment and we have to honor each other so that we don't, like Eve, participate in our own destruction. So hopefully that was helpful. I do have to clock back into work and I'll be back to chat to you guys soon. Bye.